This is the first time I'm making this presentation, so I might look like I'm stumbling around a bit. It's because I am. So thank you, Joseph, for introducing me. My name's John Helps. I'm from Island Crisis Care Society. I'm one of the program managers over there. I have to admit, I'm not an ordained minister. I saw that in the email that Elspeth sent out. But I am studying ministry, so I'll tell you a little bit about that. Okay, so I'm here for three reasons today. First reason, the obvious, why we're all here, I'm here to worship with all of you. We're here to worship God today. Second thing I'm here to tell you about is Island Crisis Care Society. I'm here to tell you a little bit about what we do. I think I'm preaching to the choir a little bit on that one, so maybe I'll share some information with you, some things that you can carry on and share with others, or maybe give you some different ideas. The third reason I'm here is a little bit more selfish, and this goes back to the ministry. I am studying ministry, so I'm actually a candidate for ministry in my denomination. I've spent the last few years working in congregational ministry, but have found my way out to the island here. So in our tradition, maybe I'll back up from there. I'm from Edmonton. I'm not from the island. I moved out here from the prairies last spring, right at the beginning of COVID. What brought me out here was, I didn't grow up in the church. I'm not somebody who was in the church throughout my life. No particular reason, it's just it wasn't something that we had. So my exposure was limited to the news, television, the people around me, how they behaved, what they said. So I was aware, but I was a little confused because it seemed like everybody I talked to had a different idea of how you were supposed to worship, who you worshiped with, what worship meant. So it just all seemed very overwhelming to me. I had other things to worry about. So I went into working in human services, working in the child protection world. So for about 20 years, I worked in and around the Edmonton area with folks who, well, they were having some struggles. And it was in that world that I started to how would I describe it? I guess I really became aware of justice, how justice played out in the world. And I learned that it's different for different people. Sometimes it depends on how much money you have in your pocket. Sometimes justice would depend on what you look like, who the people around you look like. Sometimes justice might depend on what your abilities were. So this was all confusing to me. I was supposed to be working in a world that was caring and compassionate to everybody, but it didn't always seem like it worked that way. And that was when I felt a call to the church. I thought, there's got to be something more. I think that's where I'm going to look. So I spent some time in the church. I thought, well, again, going back, different people are telling me different things. So what is this all about? So I read the Bible. Well, I read the Gospels. We're Christians, so what does Christ have to say? But then I realized sometimes it's a little more complicated than the words. You have to understand where those words are taking place, who's being spoken to. So I went back and read the Bible. And then I read it again. So I walked away with, okay, I think I get the flow of the story here. What I started to be drawn to was a story in the book of Acts. So those of you that remember, the second time Jesus left, the church was starting to develop, and they started to notice some things. Here in our community here, this Jewish community, we're starting to allow different people in. We're opening the doors. But the folks that were already there didn't always like that. So when it came time to share charity out with the widows, well, the Hebrew widows would get preferential treatment, and so the deacons were commissioned. So that's where I joined into the church. That was my connection. In my denomination, we have diaconal ministers. Other denominations would call them deacons. And that's the tradition of ministry that I belong to. I'm not a fantastic orator like all of the worship leaders you have here, and I can't play guitar. But I can clean a toilet and serve lunch like nobody's business. So the deacons, we're commissioned to justice, education, pastoral care. So with all of that and my 20 years, I had to decide what to do next, and well, that's how I ended up out here. One of our final projects at school is, we used to call them a global perspective experience. You'd go out to somewhere else, see where somebody is struggling, try to learn, try to understand, try to make things better. But then something happened. The pandemic hit, and nobody was leaving Canada. Luckily, I had already been asking questions. I said, I understand there's things happening in other parts of the world, but what about right here at home? We have problems here at home. Out in Edmonton, we had already gone through our own tent city. Out in Nanaimo here, you went through yours. I read about it in the paper there. So, long story short, I packed everything up, sold what I had, and I left my congregational ministry appointment, and I moved out here to work with Island Crisis Care Society. And I'd like to show you a video just to share a little bit about what drew me in.
The story of the Good Samaritan is this. A man was beaten up by life and left to lie in the cold on the side of the road. One by one, the good people of the town, the best people really, the lawyer, the church minister, and the teacher, passed by without care. But then someone, a Samaritan of all things, saw the man, really saw him, and took pity. And she reached out and helped the poor man to find shelter and care. Why would she do that though? Because she was an outcast herself? Because she was better than the other people? It was because she simply saw the beaten man and realized that he was a human being, just like her, just like everyone else. Some of us are lucky to live in nice homes and have loving families. Some are not so fortunate. But we're all human, people with flaws and cares and good parts and bad, and all of us, whatever our stories, have value. And we all have a responsibility to care for our fellow humans, whoever they are. That is the Samaritan principle.
So imagine that, just caring about somebody because we do. Each one of us here is a part of God's creation. We're all loved. So are everybody we pass on the streets. So to find a group of people who were just, their goal was to care and to love others, that felt like the place I wanted to be. The Samaritan principle comes from the story of the Good Samaritan. Is everybody familiar with it? The Good Samaritan? I don't actually have it here, so I hope so. I can tell you quickly what it says. But it actually exists inside of a larger theological discussion. And I'm going to share that with you. That it comes from Matthew chapter 22. And the folks that Jesus was with asked him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And the Samaritan story was in response to "Who is my neighbor?" So Jesus had described this, what happened here. So the priests walked by, the teacher walked by, all of the good people of town walked by and did nothing, and the Samaritan came by and helped. And that's our Samaritan principle. And it's a good one. Jesus is actually playing theologian here. He's not just making stories up. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. And if you were to flip back and look at Deuteronomy, you'd see it tells us to love God with all your heart, to love your neighbor, and in loving your neighbor, to love the widows, orphans, and immigrants, because the Israelites were immigrants in Egypt, and God showed mercy to them. These were all the people that had no power. So how do we do that? Who's the widow today? In ancient Israel, the widow was somebody who had no rights to property. Her spouse had passed. She had no roof over her head. She had no food, no way to make an income. Today, we could be talking about somebody who's fleeing an unlivable situation. It could be the people they're living with. It could be the environment. There's not an access to a roof over their head. It could be somebody who is experiencing a disability, who's had to live with their parents until they're 50, 55 years old, and now their parents are gone. They have no roof over their head, no income. What about the orphans today? It's easy, we think of orphans. I mean, we all have an image in our head. And in ancient Israel, that would be, obviously, folks who had no parents to look after them. It could have also been children with no official family to look after them, kids out on the streets. Today, who are our orphans? Our orphans are those children that maybe grew up away from their parents, whether it was government care, maybe with a distant family member. Our orphans could be folks who come from families where their parents were traumatized and just couldn't cope. Who are the foreigners today? In ancient Israel, the Samaritan. The Samaritan was a despised member of a neighboring nation. In fact, they were especially hated because they worshiped God the incorrect way. Today, our immigrants, we hear about it in the news, come from other places, but what about within our own country? Our immigrants could be anybody who practices a different religion, comes from a culture completely different than ours. So all of these folks continue to be represented in the way they did then and even more now, because our world is bigger and more complicated. And of course, what happened in the Bible when the nations didn't follow these commandments, if you've been going through the Hebrew scriptures, you know about that. All you have to do is look for a prophet, see what they said to the leader, and usually it has something to do with not caring for anybody, not following God's commandments, the most important commandments. There's different ways we give. We talked earlier about how this congregation has helped out. You've raised money for Island Crisis Care Society. You all give offerings to your community of faith here. And I'm sure there's other ways. I would bet you if we did a poll, there's volunteers in this room. I'm guessing some of you do things around the community, whether through other groups, just in your actions out in the world. I've got a video here, though, to share some of the ways that we give at ICCS. Thank you. And there's other ways to give. I don't like to just show a captive audience our little video. There might be other ways you're giving out in the community. The important thing is to offer support. Island Crisis Care Society has seven sites. You know about Orca Place. Hearst House is out here in Parksville as well. That's one of our crisis stabilization programs. We have seven sites, 13 programs. Every day we support over 250 people trying to prevent them from being homeless. The programs we have, I mentioned, well, you know about Orca Place. So do you know about the Newcastle Housing Project? That's down in Nanaimo. They're both funded by BC Housing, and between the two of them, there's about 130 people that would be homeless otherwise. Out here in Parksville, we have Hearst House, funded by Vancouver Island Health Authority. And in Nanaimo, we also have Safe Harbor House and Crescent House. And those are residential programs that are meant to be kind of a stopgap. So if somebody's coming out of the hospital, heading to the mainland, maybe they're going for treatment, maybe they have housing lined up, we try to fill in the gaps so they don't end up out on the streets. We also have Samaritan Place, which is kind of going through some changes right now. You may have heard they're opening up a new building within the next couple, 3 weeks down in Nanaimo. It used to be Samaritan House, which was our women's shelter. They've since closed. They've become a COVID shelter for folks who are at high risk, so people over 55 who are living on the streets. And Samaritan Place is going to be opening where I couldn't even tell you everything they're going to be doing. There's the women's shelter is reopening. We have ongoing supportive housing. There's some high needs beds. I'm not sure if you're aware, there's a lot of people out on the streets right now who are older, who have high medical needs, and there's nowhere for them to live. So we also have outreach programs, recovery beds, second stage housing. There's a number of programs out there all the time. So going back to our video, Sarah, who fled the bad home environment, she might want to access Samaritan House or perhaps spend time at Hearst House, Safe Harbor House, or Crescent House. The people who have nobody, the orphans. Carla, who's hurt at work and can't make money anymore. The residential school survivors, folks who are raised in care, people with disabilities whose parents have passed on. Sam, who is facing discrimination. For them, Orca Place and Newcastle Housing Project. I go down there on Friday afternoons, actually. We have a volunteer chaplaincy program we've started, and just sit and listen. And sometimes I forget how powerful it is just to have somebody to listen to how your day was. And when we have it all of the time, we forget. If you go days, months, it's lonely. So to just be there. If you can't give, be a volunteer. And then, of course, foreigners. That's been so twisted up with politics. But at some point, we all have to ask ourselves, what do my politicians tell me and what does the Bible tell me? The parable of the Good Samaritan offers our guiding principle, but it has that deeper meaning, the Samaritan. The person that was there for me was not the person I expected. In fact, it was somebody I wasn't too kind to in the past. The ones who are different from us, the ones we don't agree with, the people whose lives we don't understand, that's the folks we're called to walk with. So friends, I'm thankful to be here sharing with all of you. I'm thankful to be here to worship. Get involved with the Blue Bank campaign if you want to. If you give somewhere else, continue doing that. Volunteer somewhere. Donate to a community organization. Be kind to everybody. If you can't do anything else, smile and say hello. Everybody deserves it. We all deserve it. God asks it of us. The other thing you can do is tell people. We've all been there sitting having coffee and somebody makes a comment. Question them, educate them. I invite you to join us at ICCS and all the caregivers everywhere to show God's love to all of the people we meet along the way, especially those who are different than us. Because it's in those moments that we truly show the love of God and bring everyone closer together. Amen.